This is The Fantasy Show with Shoali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, Canada. Shoali, Matt Marchese here with you. We're back. The Fantasy Show is back. It feels so good to not only be back on the air, but the NFL has officially returned, which means we're here all season long, all the way right through to the Super Bowl in February to give you as much fantasy football advice as you want. Anything you want to talk about, we are here to discuss. We'll go over start sits for every game. We'll take a look at the most important games of the week, waiver pickups, which will get their own podcast-only episodes of the show. And of course, most importantly, your texts, your tweets. You can hit us up on the text line at 590-590, name and location. And you can tweet us at SNS Alley with two L's and at MattyMar89. But Matt, the NFL is back. Your Buffalo Bills dominated the defending Super Bowl champs on Thursday in the season opener. The Jays won last night to boot. Life is good, mon ami.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I certainly can't complain. And that game on Thursday, it kind of gave us an insight. And we'll start with the Bills first. It gave us an insight into how this offense is kind of going to run. Stephon Diggs, we know, is great. Gabe Davis, 4 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown, living up to the preseason hype, which, you know, he was a very polarizing player as he started to climb up the ADP. But my goodness, did he ever show up in that one? He looked great. I really was interested in how the running back situation was going to work out for Buffalo, obviously, for those that drafted James Cook. Not a great start to his NFL career, fumbling on his only touch. I do, for those that are worried about it, I still do think that James Cook is going to be a factor by the midway point of the season. You don't spend that kind of draft capital to not use him. But what was most surprising on the Buffalo Bills side of the ball, Zach Moss had 6 catches in that game, show. And granted, it was 6 catches for, I think it was 21 yards or 22 yards, and he did have 8 carries.
A cloud of dust.
Yeah, but Zach Moss still had 14 touches in that game.
That's pretty remarkable, 12 touches. Honestly. Yeah, doesn't that just show you that Josh Allen is, he, like, if you think about the primary running back for this team, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, and Allen is, listen, he's that good, right? He was spectacular in the game, 297 passing yards. He had the 3 touchdown passes and the 1 rushing touchdown. He was everything as advertised.
Josh Allen is just absolutely ridiculous. He is just, he was making throws for the most part, basically all night long, that most quarterbacks, I would say not named, let's say Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, maybe a handful of others, but guys who are that mobile, I mean, I would say even Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's not as mobile as Josh Allen. He never has been and never will be. Josh Allen does things that many quarterbacks only dream of doing. And it's pretty fun to see. Were you, just beyond a fantasy perspective real quick, were you just like thrilled on Thursday night? Like what was going on in the Marchese household on Thursday night?
Well, my daughter was up the whole game, so that was fun. Her first ever Buffalo Bills game. Okay. She was up for the whole one. Not that she was paying attention to it, but you know what? Honestly, it was kind of a bit of a roller coaster because the first drive was spectacular. Josh Allen was perfect on the drive. The play that they ran, that misdirection, and Jalen Ramsey bit so hard, ooh, and Gabe Davis ends up scoring the touchdown on that. So after the first drive, I'm like, okay, this is looking good. They start out the second drive looking very good, and then Allen throws the interception, even though it wasn't his fault. We need to change that in fantasy, by the way. If it's not the quarterback's fault, they should not be deducted points, Joe. This is ridiculous stuff. We need to somehow get that. I don't know how we do it, but we need to start. And then they fumble again, and they're tied 10-10 at half when they should be probably up 21-10 at the very least. And then the defense dominates. Speaking of fantasy, darling, that Buffalo defense is going to be something special this year. But it was a roller coaster that ended with me having my feet on the ground and very thankful that they were.
Absolutely, yeah. On the Rams side of things, are you concerned at all? Because I would say the hottest talking point out of the Bills-Rams game was certainly that Josh Allen looked great. Stephon Diggs is Stephon Diggs, and certainly looks like after... It's funny, I don't want to call what he had last year necessarily a down year, but I guess, like, you know, versus expectations, it was a down year. This year, he was relatively speaking low in the draft rankings when it comes to ADP and so on. I think I had him a little higher than maybe most people did. I think I had him at like 2 or 3. And yeah, I was very pleased with his performance last night. We talked about the running game. But on the Rams side of things, I dare say... The biggest talking point was the performance of Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson, obviously a hot commodity during draft season. And in the end, 2 targets, 1 reception for 12 yards. I mean, Ben Skoronek had 6 targets, 4 receptions for 25 yards. Tyler Higbee had 11 targets, 5 receptions and 39 yards. Cooper Kupp, 15 targets, 13 receptions, 128 yards and a touchdown. That's not a shocker. Matthew Stafford did the Matthew Stafford to Kupp thing. I guess Stafford and Kupp are still having breakfast every day before the game. I guess that's important still. But apart from the Kupp stuff, Allen Robinson, just 12 yards on one catch. Are you worried at all about that?
I'm not, only because, I mean, there's still going to be a transition period. And the biggest reason why I'm not worried about Allen Robinson at this moment is they're paying him a lot of money. So they're not just going to have him go out there and play like 90% of the snaps and just get 2 targets. And one of them was the end of the game, heave it up into the end zone target, which everybody really loves. Like, if he scores, you're like, okay, I think I can manage that just for now. But he gets paid way too much money. I saw some of the routes that he ran. I mean, was he getting open? Maybe. Like, the only guy that seemed to be open all night was Cooper Kupp. And that's kind of par for the course. But I'm not, if I'm in a league that somebody has already put Allen Robinson on the block because they have like that PTSD from last season, which was a nightmare. Let's face it. I'd be going out and getting Allen Robinson because he's going to come cheap and he's too good of a receiver with Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. He's not doing that every week. It's just not happening. So that I'm not as concerned as maybe some other people are. It's wait. What do we always say about week one show? It's the biggest overreaction in sports. Week one in the NFL, always the biggest overreaction. It happens. The other one is Cam Akers.
Ooh.
Like, Cam Akers had 3 carries for 0 yards. And Daryl Henderson handled 100% of the running back catches. And I believe it was 83% of the running back carries. That to me is going to change. I know Sean McVay says he needs to run with more urgency, but if you give him 3 carries, how can you determine that that is the case? Guess he's watching him in camp and I don't even know if he played in the preseason. I mean, how can you determine that he needs to run with more urgency when you give him 3 carries and Daryl Henderson was the lead back? I don't think that Daryl Henderson's going to be the lead back by week 6. I think it's going to be more of a split. And let's not forget, Cam Akers probably came back way too early from the Achilles injury last year. So I wonder if there is a residual effect there of coming back too early, because he didn't look great in the playoffs either.
So you're saying Cam Akers and Allen Robinson need to both have breakfast with Matthew Stafford. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They could have breakfast with us. We would be fine with it, but
sure.
It's probably a little more proactive to have breakfast with Matthew Stafford. And that's another thing. Matthew Stafford, I mean, he threw the 3 interceptions. It does. I know Cooper Kupp is open all the time. I understand it. But the Bills defense, they gave the template to beating the LA Rams. Rush 4. They didn't blitz once and had 7 sacks. I really do believe that Sean McVay is going to have to get a guy like Allen Robinson and a guy like Cam Akers involved in the offense if they want to have some success. Now, everything is all going to be totally gravy when they play the Falcons next week. Like, let's face it, Allen Robinson is probably going to go out and have like 5 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
don't quote me on that. But they're playing the Falcons and the Falcons stink next week. And then everybody's going to forget about week 1 disaster against the Bills.
As someone who started Allen Robinson, I sure hope you're right.
I started him in multiple leagues, Joe. I was very disappointed. And in one league, if I didn't have Gabe Davis, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo defense, I'd probably be really sour this morning.
Oh boy. Well, whoever's playing you, anyone who played Josh Allen and some combination of Diggs, Davis, or probably Kupp or the Bills defense, I'm sure is very sour this morning as well. But hey, if you want to shoot us your fantasy questions, 590-590 is the text line. Leave your name and location. I see a whole bunch here already, so we will get to them at the top of the next hour and at the bottom of the next hour as well before we get out of here for Inside the Lines, which of course also makes its triumphant return this Sunday morning. Some quick injury news updates, and Matt, chime in if I miss anything. I'm just going to read a couple of tweets here. Some of these from Ian Rappaport, some of these from Adam Schefter. I see here Rappaport saying Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin expected to make his return from a torn ACL today against the Cowboys. Barring no setbacks and warmups, he may be eased back, but he should play. Arizona Cardinals tight end Zach Ertz with that calf injury, likely to play today versus the Chiefs, assuming again no issues warming up. JJ Watt is not expected to play. Falcons first round rookie wide receiver Drake London, he had been nursing that knee injury, expected to make his debut against the Saints. Jacoby Myers, Patriots wide receiver, questionable with a knee injury, expected to play. Michael Thomas, hamstring, listed questionable, likely to play against the Falcons today. George Kittle, not likely to play with a groin injury, so get him out of your lineups. And Logan Thomas, who's attempting to return from a torn ACL last season, expected to play today for the Commanders against the Jaguars. I don't know if I see any other ones here.
Did you get Alan Lazard in there? It looks like he's going to be out. So Lazard out, Elkton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari also not expected to play. So that Green Bay offensive line, I know they played without Bakhtiari for the majority of last season, but they don't have him, it looks like, today against the Vikings. Elkton Jenkins, another guy on that offensive line. Aaron Rodgers is going to have his work cut out for him. They already don't have Davante Adams. I mean, we'll get to it later, but it's going to be a very interesting day for the Green Bay Packers. That's for certain. And the other interesting news that we did see, for those that drafted Brian Robinson and had high hopes, the unfortunate situation where he got shot in the leg, he could be back by week 5.
Ooh.
For the Washington Commanders. By the way, worst name in pro sports, Washington Commanders. You'll hear that a lot on this show. So there's a few injury notes that are they have piqued my interest, let's say.
Do you like the Commanders name more or the Kraken more in the NHL?
Give me the Kraken over the Commanders, no question. I think the Commanders is so bad. Oh my god, it's so bad.
It does kind of give you a bit of like the I've moved my franchise in Madden to another city vibe. That's the kind of vibe I get from the Commanders.
Yes, 100%.
Are you ready to start with our start sits for every game this week?
Let's roll.
All right, let's do it. Why don't we start with Saints at Falcons? And Michael Thomas is one of those guys we talked about in the injury lineup there. He is expected to play, like I said, for the Saints. Jameis Winston going to be there back there. I'm curious where you fall on guys like Michael Thomas, considering the rest of the pass catching options out there. Like, I have Thomas listed at, like, tentatively as a WR2. I think I am going to roll him out there maybe over, let's say, Hunter Renfro today in some leagues. But I'm curious where you fall on the return of someone like Michael Thomas, Matt.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, I'd be locking him into my lineup. My only question that I have with the Saints offense, because I think Jameis Winston, you know, like Jameis Winston was my sleeper pick, a guy drafted outside the top 20 that could finish in the top 12. I think he's that talented, and he's got a good course of receiving corps there in New Orleans. Michael Thomas, I agree. I kind of have him in that back end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. Like, and he was going around there with his ADP. I'm curious to see who dominates the slot reps in this offense, because let's not forget that Jarvis Landry is there. I think Chris Olave is going to have a good year, but I don't think that Chris Olave is startable right away. I mean, I got to see where this offense goes in the first 3 or 4 weeks. Having said all that, if you have some injury concerns, maybe Olave is a guy that you have and you're kind of leery about maybe starting Chris Godwin because it's the Sunday nighter. You could try out Chris Olave in a flex position. He's probably going to be the guy that stretches the field. He's really the only burner that they have among those three guys, Thomas and Landry included. I want to see who dominates the slot reps here. Is it going to be Jarvis Landry? Is it going to be Michael Thomas? Is it going to be a rotation of both? I'd be confident starting Jarvis Landry in a flex spot this week. Mm-hmm. I'm confident starting Michael Thomas. I'm not starting Chris Olave just yet, although he could end up being the I think he's going to end up being the wide receiver two by the time this season's all said and done.
Matt, what if the guy who dominates the slot reps is Taysom Hill?
If it's Taysom, like, Sean Payton's not even there for me to get mad at him.
I know.
If it's Taysom Hill, I'm walking away from the TV. I'm not even going to have that game on. I think there's a lot of fantasy. There's a lot of fantasy gold in this matchup. If Taysom Hill gets like three touches, I'm going to change the channel.
I think I'm there with you. I've had enough of Taysom Hill. He's like the fantasy Grinch in terms of stealing touches from literally any other fantasy relevant player. But I think the funniest thing about week one would be if Hill himself became a fantasy relevant player. I know Adam Trautman is still there. Will Taysom Hill be the TE1 quote unquote in New Orleans over Trautman? I don't really know, but I think Troutman's also very talented, but really, unless you are really, really desperate for a tight end, I guess you could start him, but he's nothing more than a low end TE2. And I mean, you and I talked about this when we did the rankings and so on, but to be a low end TE2 means you're getting like 3 points a game. There's probably guys with higher upside that are probably available on your waiver wire, like a Gerald Everett or someone like that out there for the Chargers. So yeah, probably I would probably pass on Trautman. Alvin Kamara, RB1, I think we're safe to say, perhaps.
I think Alvin Kamara is in for a big year. He's not, as we know at this moment, he's not getting suspended this year. And that suspension loomed large. There are people that got Alvin Kamara at like RB14, and Alvin Kamara could absolutely, I think Alvin Kamara is going to finish as a top five running back. He's that good. We know how good Alvin Kamara is. And Mark Ingram's getting older. Tony Jones Jr. did not show well enough last year. It's Alvin Kamara's show there. He's going to be the focal point of this offense, along with, I believe, Michael Thomas. Listen, all signs are pointing to a big season for Jameis Winston if he can stay healthy. This is a really good group of playmakers led by Kamara, led by Thomas. Kamara, I still can't believe Kamara was going as low as he was. I think some people got him as low as RB18, and I just shake my head. You take the talent when it's available, and Kamara, he oozes talent in New Orleans.
I certainly hope that if Jameis Winston's throwing the ball back there, let's hope that the LASIK surgery made things better for him, right? He was a backup in 2020. He had that 33 touchdown, 30 interception season in 2019. And then he had 13 touchdowns to three interceptions in the first six games of 2021. Yeah, he had the injury, but clearly the Saints liked him enough to bring him back. So he is going to be the starter this season. Until he is not, he is going to be the starter for the Saints. And it certainly looks like there's going to be a lot of volume in terms of passing to go around in the Saints offense. So I'm sure some of it will go to Michael Thomas. Some will go to Jarvis Landry, maybe Olave as well. But Alvin Kamara, I would imagine, is going to be one of the primary beneficiaries. On the Falcons side of things, Matt, okay, let's boil this down to just a couple players, because I can't imagine there are a lot of Falcons being started today relatively consistently. Like, apart from Kyle Pitts and maybe Cordarrelle Patterson, I can't imagine you're starting too many Falcons today.
No, those are the two guys that I'm kind of focusing in on. If Drake London didn't have the knee injury that has been nagging him for at least a couple of weeks, then I would consider him in a flex spot. Listen, some people took Drake London as their wide receiver three. I'd be very leery about Drake London. The Saints defense is a very good defense. Granted, the Falcons are going to have to throw the ball a lot. Marcus Mariota is going to be under duress. They're probably going to be down in this game. Unless I'm desperate, I'm not starting Drake London today. I know he was the first wide receiver off the board. I'm always concerned about knee injury. Any lingering injury I'm concerned with. But this is a rookie coming in, and he doesn't have a great quarterback. Like, if there was, let me put it to you this way. If Jameis Winston was the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons and not Marcus Mariota, I would probably consider playing Drake London. But I need to see something. I need to see how he is after the knee injury. And let's face it, you don't lose your fantasy season in week one. If you do, there's a big problem. But I'm staying away. You're right. Kyle Pitts, absolutely locked and started. We know that. We don't need to spend too much time on that because he's a unicorn. And Cordarrelle Patterson, probably in a flex spot, because I don't buy into this Damian Williams is going to be a focal point of the running game business. I don't see it. Al Geyer, the running back out of BYU, was at one point listed as eighth on the depth chart for the Falcons. I'm not buying into that. Those are the only two guys I'm starting.
Let's move on to the Browns at Panthers. I think I can, in the kind of in the same way we just talked about the Falcons, I feel pretty comfortable summing up the Browns start sit situation this week and probably really for most of the fantasy season to start Nick Chubb basically every week. If you really are in a pinch, start Kareem Hunt maybe as an RB2, given how much they're going to probably run the ball as long as Jacoby Brissett is back there. And I personally, for me, I'm going to be sitting Amari Cooper just until, kind of like you said for Jarvis Landry, certainly a former Cleveland Brown, I'm going to sit Amari Cooper just until I see what his role on this offense is while Brissett is under center.
I'm going to start Amari Cooper only because Jacoby Brissett's got to throw the ball to somebody. And for me, Amari Cooper is the best wide receiver on that team. I'm definitely not starting guys like David Bell or Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm starting Kareem Hunt just because that offensive line is still good regardless of who the quarterback is. Here's an interesting one for you. If you are desperate at tight end and this guy got paid this offseason and he may be the number two option behind Amari Cooper, at least at the beginning of the season, David Njoku is an interesting flyer to throw out there this week. Jacoby Brissett has targeted the tight end position around 28%. Since he came into the league. So I kind of like if you had, again, if you're concerned maybe about Zach Ertz's calf injury, or you had George Kittle in your lineup, and as we know, he's out, David Njoku would be a very interesting flyer. He was probably a late round pick for most people, could be free in some leagues. I would start David Njoku with at least a little bit of confidence, just because of the way that Jacoby Brissett targets the position.
Do you think there's a possibility that Njoku finishes, let's say, top eight week one for tight ends?
I do, because the Panthers' defense hasn't been that great, and they didn't get all that much better in the offseason. This one kind of feels like a bit of a shootout because it's the revenge game for Baker Mayfield, as we know, which we'll get to, and the Browns, they feel like they have something to prove, especially Jacoby Brissett, because he was not supposed to start games. I mean, we all thought Deshaun Watson was going to get suspended, but I don't think that the Cleveland Browns had it in their mind that Jacoby Brissett was going to be starting games at the beginning of this season. I think there's a lot to prove here. I would be not as surprised as some others if David Njoku was a top eight tight end this week.
If we look at the Panthers side of things as well, again, I don't know that we need to spend too much time on, should you start Christian McCaffrey? If you draft him at Christian McCaffrey, you are starting him every week.
Hold on, though. When he hit the injury report and we didn't know what it was, everybody started with they're like, oh, no, not again. And then it ended up just being a cut.
Yeah, it was like a cleat to the shin or something like that. Yeah,
I definitely put it in one or two of my league chats just to start chaos. Even though I knew what it was, I didn't say what it was. I did it just to start chaos.
I'm not surprised. I will say, when I saw that notification come across the old timeline and it was like, McCaffrey added to injury report, I thought to myself, gosh, like, even if it is just a cleat to the shin, it's going to be like, tomorrow we're going to see, like, Christian McCaffrey leg amputated after staph infection or something. Now, I was genuinely afraid we would see that. But, he is okay, seemingly okay, at least for now. So he's going into starting lineup for most people. I imagine most people are also starting DJ Moore. Maybe low end WR1, high end WR2, depending on where you fall on DJ Moore this week. The intriguing starch sits options for me on Browns Panthers today for the Panthers are Baker Mayfield in let's say one QB leagues. Do you want to start Baker Mayfield? Because in two QB leagues, you kind of have to start everyone. But Baker Mayfield, do you start him in a one QB league? And Robbie Anderson, are you starting Robbie Anderson today?
After what Robbie Anderson did last year, I'm not starting Robbie Anderson all year. That was a nightmare. And he's already said he didn't want Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. Like, that's not a good start. That's really not a good start. I'm not starting Baker Mayfield this week. Even though it is the revenge game, I just feel like there are so many better options at quarterback. Like, unless you really punted on the position thinking that, you know, like if you go into the year because you punted at the position and you have Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz as your quarterbacks, then yeah, okay, I'm going to start Baker Mayfield, but I'm staying away. I do think he's in a decent situation. I certainly think that he elevates DJ Moore, who's basically a lock for 1,100 yards seemingly every year. But outside of that, I will say this. I'm interested to see how Laviska Shenault is used in this Panthers offense. Came into the league as a second-round pick with the Jags. The Panthers traded for him. Maybe he's the wide receiver too, and not Robbie Anderson. That's what I'm most interested in seeing. But yeah, the only two guys from the Panthers side that I'm starting with any sort of confidence, of course, is Christian McCaffrey, who, if healthy, is probably the RB1, and DJ Moore, who I think is a top 10 wide receiver this year.
Hey, I'm certainly hoping in Carolina, Matt, that if WR1 in Carolina specifically is DJ Moore, then I'm hoping that WR2 in Carolina is Christian McCaffrey. And I wouldn't be surprised
if that's
what ends up happening, because, yeah, like you said, when we did the previews, he's not a lock necessarily, but when he is healthy, he is definitely capable of 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving, which is pretty rare these days in the NFL. We're going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to start sits, and we'll also get to your texts at 590-590 at the top of the next hour. Still a lot of time to send those in. I see a whole bunch here on the text line. The Fantasy Show is back. It feels so good. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you. First week of the NFL season is here, which means the Fantasy Show is here all season long to give you as much fantasy advice as possible. Still some time to send us some text messages at 590-590. Name and location. Do you want some advice on some start sits? We'll get to those at the top of the next hour, and we'll read the rest before we make way. And again, if we don't get to your texts on the air, we will reply to all of them before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. We will answer every single text message as much as humanly possible. Again, so 590-590 is where you can shoot us those texts. Matt, let's continue with our start sits. We just did Browns-Panthers. So the next on the list is 49ers at Bears. And on the 49ers side of things, there's a lot of fantasy relevant players here today. They already said that George Kittle is unlikely to play, so do not start him. Get him out of your lineups if possible. With that being the case, does that upgrade, if possible, certainly, any more Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk in your mind?
Oh, I think so. George Kittle should be a focal point of that offense. And I think what it does is, listen, Trey Lance needs to rely on somebody. And for me, Brandon Ayuk is a very, very good start as a wide receiver 3 and a flex play. You're obviously going to start Deebo Samuel. I do wonder how it elevates a guy like Elijah Mitchell. I also wonder how much more run Jeff Wilson Jr. gets as that RB2 in that offense. Listen, this is all going to come down to Trey Lance. I've already said I think Trey Lance's season is going to look a lot like Josh Allen's rookie season. A lot of rushing yards, not a great completion percentage. He's going to rely on Deebo Samuel. He's going to rely on Brandon Ayuk. Those are kind of going to be his safety blankets. Outside of those two guys and Elijah Mitchell, I mean, those are three pretty good starts today. I would be starting Trey Lance because of that rushing upside, and you probably spent good draft capital on him. The Bears, they're not very good. Their defense is not very good. Offensively, they're probably going to be a little bit challenged just because, you know, they didn't really add much. But I think this is a really, really good start for Trey Lance. I would not be stunned if Trey Lance is a top five quarterback this week. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I've got Brandon Ayuk in that wide receiver 2 area this week as well.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if I'm sold on Trey Lance as the QB of the future, like a real life football QB. I do like his potential as a fantasy QB. Kind of reminds me of when we had these same kind of conversations about Jalen Hurts last season. Less so for Jalen Hurts this season. I think just like you said, I think he'll be able to make relatively quick work of the Bears defense. I honestly wouldn't be surprised, Matt, if the Bears were picking in the top 3 or the top 5 at the end of the season. Like, that's just, they're not very good. They didn't really make a ton of additions. That having said that, I think there's still a lot of potential for fantasy relevance on this offense. I know you're very high on Justin Fields. I am looking forward to seeing Fields play, but apart from Fields himself, I would say maybe Darnell Mooney is a WR3 for me. Maybe Cole Kmet. I do have him as a TE1, but That's, again, probably more due to the fact that the TE landscape is not very appealing. So even if he has, like, I don't know, 9 points, it's probably enough to make him a TE1 this week. But Fields, Mooney, Kmet, probably the main guys you're starting on a week-to-week basis. And you can probably sprinkle in David Montgomery there against better defenses. But I'm not sure the 49ers is the defense you really want to gamble with him on.
I'm actually much higher on Darnell Mooney than a lot of people are. Like, if we look at Darnell Mooney from week 9 to week 18 last year, take a guess at where Darnell Mooney finished.
From week 9 to week 18?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I mean, like, probably, like, if you're asking me this question, I'm going to guess, like, WR6 or something?
No, he was lower than that. But wide receiver 13.
Okay.
And an offense that didn't let Justin Fields throw the ball a ton. I'm starting Darnell Mooney with confidence this week because, again, like we said, there's not really much else there. David Montgomery is super interesting because I do think that he's the clear number one running back there. But Khalil Herbert was very good last year in his place.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk that Khalil Herbert is actually a better fit in this running scheme than David Montgomery is. So I'd be very interested to see what the workload looks like. I do think that Khalil Herbert is going to mix in more than he did at the beginning of last season, but I'm starting David Montgomery as a back end running back two, maybe a mid-range running back two this week, just because of volume. And I do think they're going to have to use him a lot in the passing game as well, which, of course, as we know in PPR leagues, is a ton of value at the running back position.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with you. I just think that I feel like Montgomery, more than most other running backs who are going to get that amount of volume, which is to say not a lot of running backs are going to get this much volume in today's NFL, but against the 49ers, I would just maybe temper expectations. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the 49ers defense, the run defense, I should say, for the 49ers, pretty good. Steelers at Bengals as we move on here. Mitch Trubisky is the starter. It was interesting how they announced it, too. It wasn't like they put out some kind of statement. It was just like, here's the depth chart. Mitch Trubisky is atop the depth chart. Kenny Pickett is number 3. And I'm not sure what that says about Pickett. It does, I think, clearly say the Steelers organization, a historically good organization led by a very competent head coach, clearly has faith in Trubisky. So if that's the case, I am curious to see what the passing volume looks like from Trubisky today, because he's going to have to support certainly the pass catching aspect of Najee Harris's game, but also Deontay Johnson. I think some people think Pat Freiermuth has a path to being a better tight end than he was last year. And he was pretty good last year too, for a rookie. Where do you fall on Mitch Trubisky's effect on someone like Najee Harris?
I think it hurts Najee Harris, to be completely honest with you. I'm higher on Mitch Trubisky than most, just because he does offer some value with his legs. He's certainly an athletic quarterback, or he's definitely more athletic than broken Ben Roethlisberger. I might even be more athletic than broken Ben Roethlisberger.
Let's not get too out of hand here, man.
I know. Yeah. That's probably a little much. But I also do believe that the leash on Mitch Trubisky is probably short. So he's got to prove something here. I don't like what Mitch Trubisky does, his ability to scramble. I don't like what that does for Najee Harris, because I think a lot of Najee Harris's targets last year and catches were just because Ben Roethlisberger had to dump it off to somebody because he's not athletic enough to move out of the pocket. I think that Mitch Trubisky is athletic enough to move out of the pocket and make plays down the field as opposed to behind the line of scrimmage. I love Deontay Johnson. He's a full go despite the shoulder injury that he got in the preseason. My biggest interest in this one is George Pickens versus Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool still had over 800 receiving yards last year. I know he was a disaster with some of his antics on the field, which is so terrible for us to say because he's Canadian.
I know,
but
right?
It's the truth. It does make I it kind of hurt me a little bit that he did those kind of things. But anyway, George Pickens was the darling of the preseason. Everybody was on the George Pickens train. His ADP climbed to incredible heights considering where he was just a month prior. I'm really curious to see how that workload is shared. Deontay Johnson is the clear number one here for me. I have a gut feeling that George Pickens is going to be the number two, at least by week 6. But this week is going to tell us a lot, because I believe that this game is going to be higher scoring than people believe. Very curious to see George Pickens versus Chase Claypool. I'm not starting either of those guys. How about that?
No, yeah, I'm not starting either of them as well, because you got to see how things shake out. That, I think that's going to be a common refrain for some guys on the fringe when it comes to week one. And then once we have some more, maybe more empirical data for week two, you can probably make some more more potential predictions. Obviously, it gets better as the season goes on. But yeah, I'm sitting both Claypool and Pickens this week. On Freiermuth as well, he was the most targeted tight end in the red zone, 20 red zone targets in 2021. So it'll be interesting to see if Trubisky continues that trend versus Big Ben last season. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, I think he's a QB1. Joe Mixon, RB1. Jamar Chase, WR1. So I don't think anyone really needs to have any kind of argument about should you be starting Burrow, Mixon, or Jamar Chase. The questions here are, guys, well, again, maybe even it's not a question for T. Higgins as well, because we've seen that this kind of passing offense, Matt, can support multiple WR1s. Do you think it can support both Chase and Higgins?
Yeah, there's always a concern that they cancel each other out, but I believe I had T. Higgins as my wide receiver 12 over the course of this season.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, and the Steelers, their secondary wasn't great last year. Listen, Joe, it's Chase. The real question for me is, are you taking a shot at Tyler Boyd against the Steelers, who he's had a lot of success against those Pittsburgh Steelers? That is really the only question for me. You're obviously going to start, like we said, Joe Mixon. That's a no-brainer, because I'm curious to see what Joe Mixon and his involvement in the passing game is, because there was a lot of talk that they were really going to start at the beginning of the preseason. It was, oh, they're going to limit it and Chris Evans is going to get a lot of work. And then it's like, oh, hold on a second. They're going to give Joe Mixon more touches now, and they're going to get him involved in the passing game even more than he was last year. So that's where I go with this one. Tyler Boyd is an interesting flex start, but he does become touchdown dependent, and he's been very good against the Steelers. I would be okay with Tyler Boyd in a flex, just because, like you mentioned, it's a heavy passing offense, and it's going to be, and Joe Burrow's going to have a much better season if he can stay healthy, because the offensive line is better and he's not going to be running for his life all the time. I believe that this could be the big year for Joe Burrow that everybody has been expecting, because he's going to be upright more.
I think too, when you look at some of these other guys, I mean, Tyler Boyd, because like you said, Chase Higgins is going to be very, very good this season. Boyd, I like the idea of starting him as a flex spot if you're desperate. He's a lower-end flex play, I would think. But also, when you look at the tight end position, I know Hayden Hurst is a tight end on this team. He's probably not startable even as a lower-end tight end. But having said that, Tyler Boyd took 75% of his snaps in 2021 out of the slot. I got to think that's not going to change too much. And if that's the case, he essentially is the quote-unquote tight end on this offense, in the sense of those are the kind of, it's very similar kinds of routes Tyler Boyd runs, especially if Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are occupying the long distance to intermediate length routes. So I'll be really interested to see how Tyler Boyd is utilized. And also on Joe Mixon, he really did have the Steelers number in 2021, 257 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. So 42.7 total fantasy points against the Steelers in two games last season. So we'll have to see if that continues again today and for the rest of the year. Let's move on to Eagles at Lions. Of course, Jalen Hurts is, I would think he's an automatic start, because again, I don't know if he's going to be the quarterback of the future in Philly, Matt, but I do think he is going to be a very viable fantasy quarterback option. Where do you fall on someone like AJ Brown? I have AJ Brown. I think I had him in the top 10 in our over the season, our full season rankings. I really do think he's so talented. He has succeeded in a relatively pass thrifty offense in Tennessee. And I got to imagine it might very well be the same thing in Philadelphia in 2022. So if that's the case, I still think he's definitely going to be a WR1. It just goes to, you just have to imagine he might even get a more passing volume, because the running game outside of Jalen Hurts himself is not going to be super consistent, I imagine.
No, and it doesn't seem like they like Miles Sanders a lot in Philly. And Jalen Hurts limits whatever running back is there, unless you have like a Derrick Henry, yeah, a Joe Mixon, yeah, a Christian McCaffrey, all that. You know the drill. Jalen Hurts is, for me, a top five quarterback this week. I think this is a higher scoring game than people might want it to be. A.J. Brown does he profiles as that wide receiver one, right? He's the big body. He runs great routes. He's great after the catch. He's got to stay healthy. That's the concern here. But if he's healthy, that was the only reason why I didn't have him in my top 12, was because I don't know if he's going to stay healthy. You lock in AJ Brown. Devonta Smith is super interesting in year two. He had his ups and downs in his rookie year. I'm curious to see what he looks like in this offense now that AJ Brown is there and now that he's basically second fiddle to AJ Brown. I expect that Devonta Smith has a much better season than he did last year. Another one, Dallas Goedert. I love Dallas Goedert in this offense. Philadelphia, as we know, with Zach Ertz previous to Dallas Goedert, has had some success with the position. My biggest question is actually, is Kenneth Gainwell going to be used as the pass catching back like we thought he was last season? They don't, like I said, they don't love Miles Sanders in this offense. Somehow Boston Scott still manages to stick around. Boston Scott is like the new Taysom Hill. Nobody's starting him unless there's an injury, but he's still going to take away value from Miles Sanders, who a lot of people are starting, and maybe Kenneth Gainwell, who some people might be starting in deeper leagues. If the Eagles use Kenneth Gainwell like the Indianapolis Colts use Nyheim Hines, then there's some value there. And Nick Sirianni comes from the Indianapolis Colts and that offensive scheme. I do wonder about that, but I'm starting AJ Brown. I'm starting Devonta Smith, starting Jalen Hurts. I'm starting Dallas Goedert, and that's it. I'm staying away from Miles Sanders, and I'm staying away from Kenneth Gainwell, of course, until I see otherwise.
Yeah, Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell, and Trey Sermon all back there in the backfield.
I even forgot that he was there.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, it just the waters are so muddied when it comes to the Eagles running back situation. And then that's just on top of the fact that Jalen Hurts derives a lot of his fantasy value from running the ball himself. So I'm staying away from every Eagles running back as much as humanly possible as I can. Not just this week, but probably all season long. Unless someone gets injured, I don't think I'm going to be starting any of these guys all season. Devonta Smith also, I think I like Devonta Smith maybe a teensy bit more as a DFS play than I perhaps do as a redraft league, dynasty league play today specifically. But still, I mean, if you're starting him as a WR3, I think you could probably be doing a lot worse, but I would just be wary of the passing volume there. On the Lions side of things, everyone's starting DeAndre Swift. Where do you fall on someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown? The sun god, more sun for the sun god, Matt. Are you starting the sun god today?
Yeah, you start him. It's going to be a tougher matchup. I think the Eagles defense is very good and very underrated, but this is also an offense that has a lot more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was absolutely locked in the second half of the season. He was one of the best wide receivers in football. You add in, DeAndre Swift is apparently healthy. That's going to take away some of the value. We think TJ Hawkinson is going to be involved in this offense. They added DJ Chark as well, who I really, really like this season. I feel like DJ Chark is a bit of a flex play this week, maybe in deeper leagues. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, you lock in as your starter. You probably drafted him as your wide receiver too. If you punted on the position early on and went running back heavy, he's probably your wide receiver one. He's going to get his share of targets. He is the best receiver on this team. He is the best pass catcher on this team. I still do believe that the offense runs through DeAndre Swift. He's their best playmaker. He's the guy that makes it happen when he gets the ball in the passing game or whether he's running the ball. Jared Goff has sneaky top 15 upside this season. There's just so many weapons there that Jared Goff, he just has to be pretty good. He doesn't have to be excellent because he can give the ball to his playmakers and let them do the rest. Like I said, locking in Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, TJ Hawkinson, and in deeper leagues, like in 14 team leagues, I'd be very, very interested in starting DJ Chark in a flex position. I've always been a big DJ Chark guy. He profiles as an alpha. He's got the body type. He's fast. He's got a very good catch radius. DJ Chark for me, a flex play in deep leagues.
I do like DJ Chark season long. I do think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him, especially with St. Brown on the other side there. I don't like him this week only because The Eagles did make the addition of James Bradbury in the offseason, I think from the Giants, and or maybe that maybe Bradbury was cut and then he was signed by the Eagles. I think it was something like that. But either way,
yeah.
he was cut also because of cap reasons, not necessarily because he's not very good anymore. So
he's very good.
Yeah,
let's not get that twisted. He's very good.
He's very good.
James Bradbury.
Yeah, and so I would expect Chark to see a lot of Bradbury. So if that's the case, I'm downgrading him because if that does happen, then I imagine Goff's just going to either be throwing the ball to Hockenson, throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown, or just handing it off to Swift. And he has a lot of options, like you said. On in games where you're not seeing elite cover corners like Bradbury, I do agree with you. I do like DJ Chark. Let's do one more before we hit the break here. Colts at Texans. And I think this might be actually a relatively quick one because you don't need us to tell you to start Jonathan Taylor. You don't need us to tell you to start Michael Pittman. I'm curious to see today on the Colts side of things how Paris Campbell and Alec Pierce split the WR2, like, quote-unquote, duties. Is it going to be all Paris Campbell? The knock on him has really just been that he can't be able to stay healthy. And Alec Pierce, I guess the knock on him is that he's a rookie and has he acclimatized to the Indianapolis offense. I am curious to see who falls here. I'm more willing to lean on Campbell just because he's been in this offense a little bit longer despite those injuries, but there's no reason to think that Pierce might not overtake him eventually.
Yeah, I'm looking at Paris Campbell probably playing a lot of the slot reps. Alec Pierce probably playing on the outside. I like that question. I do lean more Campbell than I do Pierce for the reasons that you outlined. I'm also very curious to see what Nyheim Hines' role is because they talked about wanting to lessen the workload for Jonathan Taylor this year after he had an incredible year last year. They're going to eventually have to pay this guy. They've already paid Nyheim Hines more than I think a lot of people expected. I do think that Nyheim Hines has a role. Matt Ryan for me is also a must start just because that offensive line is probably the best one that he's ever played with. I really like Matt Ryan against this Texans team, although he has not had success in the Texan stadium. If we remember 28-3, was in Houston.
Was it? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
So let's not forget that there's some bad juju, as it were, in Houston for Matt Ryan. But I think he's a locked in starter this week. I have him probably as QB10 this week.
Okay.
Really like Matt Ryan.
Not Juju Smith-Schuster, but bad Juju. No, I'm sorry.
I do like Juju later. We can get to that later.
It's a bad joke. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. quickly, the Texans, Davis Mills. Did you see this? I don't know if you... So Damian Pierce has been one of the hotter risers, let's say, in terms of risers, fallers in the draft for fantasy football. I would say RB2 this week, but I don't know if you saw this. This was from, I believe it was from Aaron Wilson, and he tweeted this out, I guess it was yesterday. Texans QB Davis Mills on rookie Damian Pierce before the season opener. I haven't seen someone recently with that much juice. Maybe last guy you compare him to is Mark Ingram. When he was here last season, you can kind of feel that same energy. Is he making fun of Damian Pierce by comparing him to Mark Ingram? Honestly, I read that and I thought to myself, God, just comparing him to Mark Ingram. I don't know if I want to start Damian Pierce this week.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Mark Ingram was cut by the Houston
Texans. Right? That's what I thought.
So that's probably not good. I mean, Damian Pierce just rocketed up the ADP charts way too much for me. I didn't touch him anywhere at the ADP that he was going. There's also a thing that people forget that sometimes just because you're in a situation where you don't have much behind you, I mean, Rex Burkhead's the next man up. It's not murderer's row of running backs in Houston, but it doesn't mean just because you get an opportunity that you're very good. Damian Pierce was not the first running back taken off the board this year at the draft. Was he underutilized at Florida? Sure he was. But that doesn't necessarily mean that just because he lands in a good situation, and I wouldn't even call Houston a good situation, I'd call it a volume-based situation, and that doesn't always produce. I have Damian Pierce outside the top 20 this week, just because that Colts defense is good. People don't give them enough credit for how good they are. I think the Colts run wild on them here, and then they give the ball to Jonathan Taylor, and they completely take away Damian Pierce out of the game early on. I think we're going to see a lot of Rex Burkhead this week in the passing game, to be honest with you.
Please no.
There's another guy, the fantasy killer, Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, we're going to have a list of fantasy Grinches by the end of the season. So far, it's what? It's Taysom Hill, Kenneth Gainwell, and Rex Burkhead.
No, Boston Scott.
Oh, Boston Scott. That's right. It was Boston Scott, not Kenny Gainwell. But yeah, a lot of running backs getting in there as the fantasy Grinches. Brandon Cooks for me. I have him as a WR2, although I got to imagine he does have a good rapport with Davis Mills, but I got to imagine he will see a lot of his once and former teammate Stephon Gilmore or even Kenny Moore. And I would think Texans want to get Cooks on Moore's side and not on Gilmore's side. But at the same time, I volume based opportunities are always good for fantasy football, even if they are seeing elite cover corners. So I would probably still start Brandon Cooks. But again, you temper expectations. Maybe I would downgrade him to a very low end WR2 until we see just exactly how he's used in this offense. But again, he was used to a very efficient degree last season, and it paid off in dividends for fantasy points. So I'm still starting Cooks this week, but a bit of a downgrade for WR2. Okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we will continue with the start sits, and we will also get to your text line questions. Again, send them in 590-590, name and location. We'll get to those at the top of the hour. That's next on The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali and Matt Marchese alongside you, not just today, but the entire fantasy football and NFL season. We're here right through to the Super Bowl in February of 2023. We're here to do some start sits, some fantasy advice, waiver pickups, ads, drops, and so on, reactions to all the games, and of course your texts at 590-590, name and location. If we don't get to your text on the air, we will answer all of them off the air via the text line before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. Matt, you ready to answer some text line questions?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, so let's take a look. This one actually came in from Tony in Hamilton, okay, Matt? And this one was sent in. I like this one. Tony is either up really early or staying up really late. This one came in at almost 4 a.m. Eastern. So Tony from Hamilton getting an early jump on the fantasy football season. Who should I start knowing he is not 100%? Chris Godwin or Russell Gage? Second, what do you think of these two players, James Cook and Isaiah Likely? Should I stash them? So first, Godwin or Gage? He doesn't say the format here, but I'm not sure if that influences your take on this at all.
No, I'm still starting Chris Godwin. Even if he's on a snap count, I like Godwin's upside more than Russell Gage. Russell Gage was battling an injury as well. So it's not like he is a beacon of health early on in the season. I'm still going Godwin just based on the upside. As for James Cook and Isaiah Likely, absolutely, I'm stashing them.
Okay, but like both of them?
Yeah, I think we're gonna see what Isaiah Likely is at least early this week, because there's no real wide receiver two on that Ravens team, and he's a tight end. I understand that, but we'll see where he kind of slots in on the offensive pecking order. And I still do believe that the upside is there for James Cook. You don't spend a second round pick on a guy and then not really use him. I just don't see that. He's the most talented running back that the Bills have. I do think that he has value, especially for late in the year.
Okay, I like that one. I you know what? I kind of agree with that. I just also enjoy the potential pun names for someone like Isaiah Likely. You don't get too many guys with names like that. But yeah, I would say, yeah, James Cook is probably going to be, I'm not sure if he'll ever be an RB1, if only because, again, like we said when we were talking about the Thursday nighter, the Bills RB1 kinda, sorta is Josh Allen. But at the same time, if you want the Bills to be successful in the playoffs, just from a real life standpoint, you need James Cook and these other guys, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, to be able to run the ball at least somewhat effectively, so you don't have Josh Allen trucking guys when he's up by 21 points, essentially, right? Like, that's the only reason, or one of the only reasons, you need a run game in Buffalo to save the life of Josh Allen. But I like that. Stash James Cook if possible. And for Tony and Hamilton, Godwin over Gage. I see this one here. Steve from East York. Good morning, gentlemen. Here's to a great fantasy football season to all. I echo those sentiments, Steve. I need one of a flex standard point system. Okay, standard point. I imagine that means non-PPR. So one for flex, a Mooney, Dylan, M. Gordon, so Melvin Gordon, or Bateman. So one for the flex, Darnell Mooney, Dylan, Gordon, or Bateman.
Wow, that's a really tough one. I feel like the touchdown upside of A.J. Dillon is really high this week, but you know what? No, I'm going Rashad Bateman against the Jets. He's the number one wide receiver for Lamar Jackson. I know the number one pass catcher is Mark Andrews, but I really, really like Rashad Bateman this week. I'll go with Rashad Bateman of those guys.
Okay, so you're going to go Bateman. You know, I think I'm going to go... it's close, but I think I'm going to go Darnell Mooney. We talked about the Bears already, but Mooney is just... I think it is close between Mooney and Bateman. It's not some slam dunk pick, oh, Mooney over Bateman or vice versa. I am going to go Mooney here just because, I like you said when we were talking about the Bears earlier, it certainly feels like Darnell Mooney is going to be options one and two, and then maybe Cole Kmet will be like options three and a half. You know what I mean? So yeah. I like Mooney. I'm going to go Mooney there. And then he also wants to know, he has two more questions, Steve. Would you go Derek Carr or Rodgers and the Chargers or Dolphins defense? So Carr over Rodgers or vice versa, or the Chargers or Dolphins defense or vice versa?
I'll play Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers this week just because J.C. Jackson doesn't look like he's going to play for the Chargers.
Yeah, right.
So that's a big loss for the Chargers, their big free agent acquisition. No, Alan Lazard doesn't help Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, but it's really close for me, but I'd lean Carr. I'd also go with the Miami defense only because I can't, like, this New England offense, based on everything we've heard, has been a nightmare with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge running the show. I'll just go Miami because I think that there's a lot of upside on against an offense that we have no idea what it's going to look like without Josh McDaniels there.
Yeah, I think I lean the Dolphins defense, dude. Pains me to say it, but I think I lean the Dolphins defense because, yeah, the Patriots offense has looked very scattered, let's say. I think that's being generous based on what we've seen in the preseason. I know preseason, we always say, hey, take everything with a grain of salt with the preseason, but it has looked it hasn't looked very good. So I think the game is in Miami, right? The game is down in Miami today. So if that's the case, boy, you think you even less confident in the Patriots. They don't have a very good track record, Brady or otherwise, whenever they go down to Miami. Okay, I like that one. Let's get to Mike from Toronto. Always good to hear from you, Mike. A 12-team non-PPR. Good morning, Show and Matt. Great show. Need five, at least two running backs and two wide receivers from... Okay, so we're basically going to choose two running backs from Barkley, Penny, Gibson, or Carter. So Saquon Barkley, Rashad Penny, Antonio Gibson, and I assume Michael Carter. So two of those guys.
I'm going Barkley for sure. You know what? I'm gonna go against conventional thing. I'm gonna go Antonio Gibson.
Okay.
Over Rashad Penny. Just Penny's got the tougher matchup against Denver's run defense. I think they're gonna have to throw a lot. I think that's gonna be a bunch of Travis Homer, which is so gross. So I'm going to go Barkley and Carter from the running backs. Barkley and
Gibson.
I just lost it. Gibson.
Right. Yeah. So you're going to go. I'm going to go Barkley and Gibson too. I was tempted to go Barkley and Penny, but I just really got to see how that Seattle offense looks. It doesn't sound very appealing. So I think I'm going to start with Barkley and Gibson. They seem like the safest plays for week one. And then he also wants to know two wide receivers from Godwin, Chase, A.J. Brown, or Mecole Hardman. So, I mean, I think if you're picking two, I would imagine Chase is going to be one of those guys. So then I imagine you're going to go, or actually, I'm not sure. Would you go A.J. Brown over Chris Godwin?
Yeah, I'm going A.J. Brown. He's healthier. I think the Philly's going to score a lot of points against the Lions. A.J. Brown's going to be a focal point of that offense. I'm going A.J. Brown and Ja'Marr Chase there.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to another text line question. I'm just replying to them as we're talking here. This one's not a question, but I do want to read this one. This is from Dan in Brampton, who did text us a lot last season. Good morning, guys. I'm so glad you guys are back on the air. Can't wait to try and defend my fantasy football title this year using all of your advice like I did last year. Football Sunday starts with the fantasy show. Thanks once again for doing everything you guys are doing, Dan and Brampton. Hey, Dan, appreciate the text, man.
Appreciate that, man.
And I actually do remember Dan's text. He texted in every week last year. So it's good to see that he's still listening. Thank you very much, Dan. Text in anytime. Jeff from Pickering, welcome back. Yeah, so Jeff always has a number of teams. I remember Jeff texting in last year as well. So here we'll get to this first one for him, and I'll answer the other ones off the air. And then I'll answer all the rest of these questions a little later on as well with you off the air once we're done here in an hour's time. But team one, 12-team, full PPR. He needs one. Okay, one, Courtland Sutton, Chris Olave, or Elijah Moore. I'm going Sutton, but I'm not sure if you... Is there anything to say Olave or Moore, you would take them over Sutton in a full PPR?
Not this week. I mean, I do really like Elijah Moore this week, but yeah, Sutton is by far and away the clear choice here. Quarterback play, everything, the matchup. I like Courtland Sutton.
And you know what? Since that was a quick one, why don't we go for one more? Team two here, 12-team full PPR. It needs a flex spot. Drake London, Kadarius Toney, or Hunt. So I imagine Kareem Hunt here.
Yeah, I'm going Kareem Hunt. He's going to get work. And Drake London, who knows what's going on with that knee. Kadarius Toney's always hurt. I'm going Kareem Hunt because I think that's the safest play.
All right, that does it for the text line questions here. And again, but that doesn't mean we're done completely. We will get to a couple more at 590-590 name and location right before we get out of here in about 40 minutes. And if we don't answer your questions on the air, don't forget, we will reply all of them before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. But again, 590-590 is where you can shoot us fantasy football start, sit questions, and again, leave your name and location. Okay, let's get back to the start sits. Patriots, Dolphins. We were kind of just talking about this to a degree. Based on your answer for the text line question, Matt, does this mean you're basically not starting any Patriots today?
Well, I'm starting Damian Harris. I'm so curious to see what Ramondre Stevenson's role is there, but I'm going to start Damian Harris. Listen, he had 15 touchdowns last year. I know that's hard to repeat, but the touchdown upside for him and how the Patriots deploy running backs, I think you could start both Stevenson and Harris this week. Probably Harris as an RB2 and Stevenson as a flex play. I like Jacoby Myers just because he seems to be the target share guy there. He's the guy who plays the slot. Devontae Parker, I mean, in a lot of leagues, it could be like a desperation flex play, but he certainly has the talent. I like Myers season long over Devontae Parker, partially based on health. I just don't know what to make of this Patriots offense. I'm starting guys, but with very, very cautious optimism.
Yeah, like relatively speaking, low expectations. I think I'm in roughly the same boat. Devontae Parker, too. Devontae Parker strikes me more this week particularly. I don't know if it's necessarily like a revenge game for him, given that he was traded from the Dolphins to the Patriots, rather, in the offseason. But he also, we were talking about some cornerback matchups. He is probably going to see a lot of Xavien Howard, who I dare say is one of the best defensive backs, period, sure, in the entire NFL, right? So if that's the case, like whoever gets Xavien Howard is going to have a tough time, and I would imagine it's going to be Devontae Parker this week. Hunter Henry, I don't mind starting Hunter Henry as a maybe low-end or mid TE2 because he does seem to have the trust of Mac Jones, which is something we saw a lot last year. I think just Hunter Henry provides some upside, and I think when you're streaming tight ends, like essentially if you don't have, let's say, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, Kyle Pitts, or Darren Waller to a certain extent, maybe Waller on the lower end of that conversation, but if you don't have any of those guys, you're essentially hoping for as much upside as humanly possible, right? So if that's the case, then Hunter Henry, I think, is a guy who does provide that that potential upside because of the connection, the rapport, let's call it, that he has with Mac Jones. I agree with you on Damian Harris, but yeah, I mean, Myers also nursing that knee injury. He is expected to play like we talked about before, but I think that means I'm downgrading him a little bit until we see just how healthy he is. On the Miami side, I think I said to you when we did the rankings last week or so, Matt, I'm high on Chase Edmonds. I'm curious to see what the rushing split is and also how much of the passing game work he is involved in. I still like him as an RB2. I think most people are starting Tyreek Hill as a WR1, and I think most people are probably starting Jaylen Waddle as a WR2. But Hill, I think, is the more attractive option, and certainly that depends on how much of a step Tua himself takes as a quarterback this year.
Yeah, listen, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, the talent is certainly there. There's no question about that. It all comes down to, can the quarterback get them the ball? And I think they're going to certainly try. I don't know what this Mike McDaniel offense is going to look like. I really don't. I said it. I'm not convinced he's a great coach. The Miami Dolphins certainly were, because that's why they hired him. My biggest question is, can Tua support two wide receivers to live up to their ADP? And I just don't see it, because they were taken fairly close together in terms of ADP. I don't see the value for both of those guys. I could make the argument for maybe one, and it's probably Jalen Waddle. I am curious to see. I think that Raheem Mostert is going to get a little bit of run here, but Chase Edmonds is the guy that got paid. Chase Edmonds is a guy they will use in the passing game. And I agree with you. I think Chase Edmonds has some RB2 value this week against the Patriots. Maybe this game is closer than we think because the Patriots defense still, listen, Bill Belichick is not an idiot. He's had a long time to prepare for week one, which is where we see a lot of teams have success that maybe we weren't expecting because of the preparation time. This game's probably a little bit closer. So I think that Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert both involved. But I really like Chase Edmonds' upside this week.
Yeah, here's some numbers to support the Chase Edmonds conversation. When he was in Arizona, he was the pass-catching specialist. He had an 81% catch percentage last season, and now he's in an offense that targeted the running backs 16.1% of the time last season. But the new head coach, McDaniel, he led an offense that targeted its running backs 20% of the time. So a lot of this is predicated on the fact that Edmonds is going to catch the ball. So if you're in a non PPR leagues, or you're in a standard league, Chase Edmonds probably takes a bit of a dip compared to other players, right? So if you're a half PPR, full PPR, I think you should feel good about Chase Edmonds. Ravens at Jets is the next one here on the list. I think, again, not a lot of difficult conversations, I would say, we're having here about the Ravens. I mean, you're starting Lamar Jackson. They're playing the Jets. I would imagine if Lamar Jackson, Matt, is not one of the top, let's say, five highest scoring players, not just quarterbacks, but players this week specifically, I feel like I'd almost be kind of surprised. I know the Jets are probably going to be better than people expect this year. Having said that, the Ravens should absolutely roll them. And I imagine Lamar Jackson is going to garner some MVP consideration. He didn't get the contract he wanted, apparently. That was some news being talked about this morning. Not certainly fantasy football relevant, but it certainly feels as though he's going to want to go out there and prove himself. And as long as he's healthy, he is a fantastic fantasy option. So you're obviously starting him. There's no news yet, unless I have missed it. There's no news yet that J.K. Dobbins is either starting or out. Have you seen that yet? I haven't seen that.
Haven't seen one thing. And we were expecting that news actually last night or even Friday, because it was going to be based on his availability at practice. And as far as I know, I believe he got in at least a limited practice on Friday. I can't find it, but Lamar Jackson did say, yeah, I can't wait to see him back on the field in a couple of weeks. That to me says I'm probably staying away from J.K. Dobbins this week, and I'm not starting any of the other guys. Like, I don't know what Kenyon Drake is going to look like in this offense. I don't know what Mike Davis is going to look like in this offense. Again, it just feels like that revolving door at running back. Outside of Rashad Bateman, outside of Mark Andrews, outside of Lamar Jackson, I'm staying away. If J.K. Dobbins is playing, I think you have to start him just because if he's ready to play, he's obviously healthy enough to play. They're not going to take that chance. So I'd be okay with that. Outside of that, I'm staying away from everybody else.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman, we talked about. There is going to be a decent here matchup for Bateman. He's going to probably draw DJ Reed in terms of cover corners. But at the same time, Bateman, I mean, Mark Jackson has to throw the ball to somebody. And hey, that somebody might be Mark Andrews. And it probably will be, given that did you have him as a TE1? I think you did, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of people had him at the very worst as TE2. So a lot of expectations for Mark Andrews this season, but still people have to throw the ball to guys not named Andrews, and Bateman's would seem to be that guy. Still WR2 status for me, obviously Mark Andrews TE1. On the Jets side of things, Breece Hall, probably the most popular Jets draftee this season. So I think most people are going to be starting him because he's one of those rare blue chip rookies. They're going to lean on him as much as possible. No Zach Wilson. He has been ruled out. So I would imagine the Joe Flacco led Jets are going to lean on the running game as much as possible. But apart from him, there are a lot of wide receivers you can sift through. Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis, Braxton Berrios, or Berrios. No, too much Jays talk, but Braxton Berrios. But Moore probably is the guy to start, I would think. I'm not comfortable being supporting of any other guys here.
Yeah. So just looking at this, so what I'm curious to see is what happens with Michael Carter and Breece Hall, because there's a lot of talk that Michael Carter was the better running back in camp and they're going to use him a lot. I expect them to use him in the passing game. I'm curious to see how much early down work Michael Carter gets. Now, Having said all of this, Elijah Moore is the only guy that I'm starting with confidence. Joe Flacco targeted Elijah Moore on 31% of his throws last year as a member of the Jets. Elijah Moore had the seventh most points per game among wide receivers from weeks 8 to 18 last year. That's not insignificant because he did miss some time and he was a rookie. I think that the upside on Elijah Moore is really high here, and he's the guy I'm starting with confidence. Michael Carter and Breece Hall do feel like flex plays this week, especially against the Ravens team that I think is really good. Michael Carter might offer a little bit more value in the passing game because, let's face it, the Ravens are going to just run the ball down the throat of the Jets. They're going to pass all over. It's going to be a nightmare, and they're going to have to throw a lot just to stay in the game. Those two running backs is flex plays this week for me.
With Berrios, I think, too, he did probably win a couple people some fantasy championships in week 17 last season, and he was very good. But having said that, I just think with against the Ravens, and it's a defense that was upgraded during the offseason. I'm not sure if you want to be too cute with starting Berrios. I almost keep saying Berrios. I have to stop doing that. But Berrios, I think there will be times where he is startable. I'm just not sure that is this week, essentially, especially with Joe Flacco under center. Let's get to the next game. Jaguars at Commanders.
Woof.
And I think, yeah, right. I know you're a big fan of Travis Etienne, not Etienne, but Travis Etienne. And I think James Robinson, I know a lot of people are like, oh, James Robinson can be had basically for free. If I learned anything from the Thursday nighter, it's that Achilles injuries are not easy to come back from. Like you were talking about then, I do think Cam Akers becomes relevant at some point this season, but I can't help but think that that might be the same kind of outlook for James Robinson, at least this week, because I mean, torn Achilles, it's, you know, you come back from torn ACLs pretty easily with the kind of medicine and surgery and so on that's available today. You can come back from Achilles tears, but it's a bit of a longer road to recovery there.
Yeah, it is. And I do think they're saying there's no limitations for James Robinson in week one, but Travis Etienne is the guy to roster here. Really curious to see what he looks like in Doug Peterson's offense. He's also coming off of missing a full season. Like we have to look at those expectations as well. I actually think the Jaguars win this game outright. Listen, I'm starting Christian Kirk. I'm starting Travis Etienne. I'm probably starting Trevor Lawrence just because I don't think that Washington is very good. Outside of that, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'd start Christian Kirk, and Marvin Jones is going to have 130 yards and two touchdowns, isn't he? God. Because that Marvin Jones is going to be on our fantasy Grinch list. He's absolutely going to be. I know it. I can feel it in my bones because he always does that. But for me, Travis Etienne offers the highest upside here. Christian Kirk got paid a lot of money. He's going to be probably the main target for Trevor Lawrence. I'm curious to see how they operate with Evan Ingram. You know, I'm a big fan of Evan Ingram, have him as a guy who could slip into that top 12 of tight ends this season, just because he's more like a wide receiver than he is a tight end. But can he hold on to the ball? We know Doug Peterson has some success with tight ends. I'm curious to see what Evan Ingram looks like.
Look, if Evan Ingram can hold on to the ball, I'm willing to at least reevaluate my thought process on Ingram. But until then, he can do what he can catch 200 yards a game until I see he's not going to be doing it on my team. I'm just telling you that much, Matt. It's not happening for me. But I will say if he proves to be even kind of valuable, you'll be able to start him as a tight end because, again, beyond the top, what, four or five guys, it's pretty barren out there. So, hey, it's plenty of room for Evan Ingram to improve after a very disappointing season in 2021. I like the Christian Kirk thing. You know I'm high on Kirk. And like they always say, follow the money, right? Follow the money. We've talked about that a lot so far this morning. And a lot of money going into the pocket of Christian Kirk. So the Jaguars coaching staff are going to want to use him as much as humanly possible. On the Commander side of things, you had already said when we were doing the text line questions that you're a big fan of Gibson this week because there are not too many potential opposing guys to steal touches from him. I got Antonio Gibson as an RB2, and I'm a big fan of Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, because this is probably the best quarterback of his career. I mean, is that saying much? No, it's a pretty low bar. It's a very, very low bar. But WR1, maybe like low-end WR1 status for Scary Terry for me.
I've got him as a wide receiver too. The matchup is certainly good, but I have him probably as a higher end wide receiver too. All right. This week.
Fair.
Jahan Dotson listen, he has the draft capital. How do they deploy him? Logan Thomas is coming back this week after the ACL injury. But for me, I'm starting two guys. It's Terry McLaurin. It's Antonio Gibson. If you are desperate, you can start J.D. McKissic, but I wouldn't be very high on that. Look, they got to see what Antonio Gibson has. We talked about Brian Robinson potentially being back as early as week 5, which is incredible considering he got shot. But yeah, I'm
crazy,
only starting
like
those.
That's actually crazy.
It is. Yeah. It is.
You know what? Let's do one more before we get out of here for the break here. Giants at Titans, and I'm only doing this because I think I can probably, at least for me, I can probably safely say there are three players in this entire game on both sides, Giants and Titans, that I'm starting. Saquon Barkley as like a mid to low end RB1, probably the only Giant I'm starting. And on the Titans, I would probably go with Derrick Henry as an RB1. And Robert Woods, lower end WR3. If you want to downgrade him to a flex, that's fine too. But Woods and Henry for the Titans, Barkley is the only guy for the Giants. Is there anyone else that you'd feel comfortable starting? I know Treylon Burks, there's some conversations about him. Do you start Ryan Tannehill, for example, in two QB leagues? Probably. You probably might have to. But yeah, those three guys are the guys I'm focusing on from this entire game, Matt.
Yeah, I'm the same. I like Robert Woods' upside. And listen, Ryan Tannehill, I don't think he's very good. They're going to rely heavily on Derrick Henry, as they always have. I agree on the Saquon Barkley thing. I'm curious to see. There's a guy that I have my eye on, Kyle Phillips, the slot receiver rookie for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill heavily targets that slot receiver position. Kyle Phillips showed really well in camp. He gained the trust of Ryan Tannehill. Am I starting him this week? Absolutely not, but something to keep an eye on in deeper leagues as a potential stash. He's certainly rostered in almost all dynasty leagues, I would assume. Curious to see what Derrick Henry's workload is, but yeah, I'm not starting guys with any sort of confidence outside of the three mentioned: Barkley, Henry, and Woods.
The return of Bobby Trees. I can't wait to see it. I hope
Bobby Trees.
Yeah, I hope he does well. Honestly, I really hope he had the ACL and what the ACL injury last season, and before he had the injury, he was playing pretty well. I know, like, you probably people there. I'm sure there's some people last season that drafted Woods over Kupp and probably are kicking themselves for it now as well. Certainly after the end of last season, but until he got injured, he was playing very, very well. So I'm curious to see what the usage rate for Woods is here today against the Giants, and the Giants are again not a very good team. I'm starting Woods in a couple of leagues, and I'm hoping for the best. Treylon Burks, I'm sure he'll be worked in there eventually, but week one, I think I would rather go with a proven vet like Woods over Burks, but that's not a diss against Burks. It's more just I'm pretty high on someone like Robert Woods. But that's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to The Fantasy Show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the start sits. We'll get to some more text line questions at 590, 590, name and location. And again, if we miss any of those text line questions on the air, you will hear from us off the air after we get out of here at the top of the next hour. But Fantasy Show continues after this. Sho and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go, a couple more start sits to go here. Sho Ali and Matt Marchese with you. We'll do some more text line questions at 590, 590, name and location in about 15 minutes before we get out of here. Make way for Inside the Lines, which also makes its triumphant return to the airwaves this Sunday morning, this NFL season. But let's get started with let's continue with our start sits. I believe now, Matt, yep, looking at the list here, we have Chiefs Cards next. I think the question about the Chiefs this year is simply, will Patrick Mahomes be as fantasy friendly as he was since he threw 50 touchdowns? Because no more Tyreek Hill. Is Travis Kelce just going to absorb all of those catches and targets and touchdowns and yardage and so on that Tyreek Hill has vacated? Is it going to be Valdes-Scantling? Is it going to be Juju Smith-Schuster? Is it going to be Sky Moore? I'm personally higher on Juju Smith-Schuster than I think a lot of people are. Obviously, Kelsey's going to get a lot of targets. So I'm going to be wrong. But I think after Kelsey, I think it's probably going to be Juju. That's who I'm leaning with week one. Of course, things could change as soon as, what, 4 p.m. Eastern later today or what have you, whenever the game starts. But I'm leaning Juju here.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes said, basically, sorry to disappoint you fantasy people, but it's going to be a different receiver putting up numbers every week. I just don't buy that, because here's what we know. Travis Kelce is going to be the guy that this offense flows through. We understand that. Juju Smith-Schuster is the most talented wide receiver that they have on this team. He also blocks better than all the other receivers. So he's going to be on the field more. It means more opportunity. I think that Juju's in for a really big year. It's the best quarterback that he's had. I mean, anybody that goes to play with Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be their best quarterback in a lot of cases. But I really like that. You know what I do hate about this Chiefs team? And we're going to do it again. This running back situation gross.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, Ronald Jones. It's disgusting. And I know all four of them are not going to be active every week. But good luck trying to figure this one out. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the draft capital. That's great. Isaiah Pacheco was a guy that everybody was so high on after the preseason. And maybe that dipped a little bit. Ronald Jones, there was talk he wasn't even going to make the team. And there's Jerick McKinnon, a player who's had success in this offense as the pass-catching back. I'm not touching any of these guys. I would start Clyde Edwards-Helaire as an absolute punt, but I don't love it.
Is Pacheco someone to roster, Matt?
I think so, just because you always want to tie yourself to a good offense. And there was at least enough hype that got out there that leads me to hold on to him for at least the first few weeks. Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to be by far and away the best running back? I mean, he could, but I doubt it. I just, if there was a little bit more stability with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I would say, no, you don't need to roster Pacheco. But the fact that there isn't stability there, I think as a bench stash, until we figure out what this offense looks like, I think he's a good stash.
I like him especially so if you're in a redraft league, a non-keeper league, it might not be worth your time unless you have deep benches. But if you're in a keeper league and it doesn't cost you too much, and I'm not sure what your keeper rules might be, but sometimes it's like keep the guy from the round before or add on $5 or something like that in auction leagues out of your draft budget for the next year. If that's the case, then there's probably worse guys you can take flyers on versus Isaiah Pacheco. But yeah, I think that's probably where we are right now. It's someone to keep an eye on for now, but no one, not someone worth starting right now. On the card side of things, Kyler Murray, QB1. You can't really start DeAndre Hopkins because he's suspended for the first number of weeks. So keep an eye on that situation and maybe keep an eye on what the news out of practices look like and sound like for Hopkins. Because in about, what, 5 more weeks, we're going to be having the conversation of should we be starting DeAndre Hopkins, but not for now. I think for me, the most intriguing question, Matt, is can James Conner replicate the tremendous season he had last year? A lot of touchdowns, I think, probably means he is due for some regression, but now he is also the guy there as running back. I know it's kind of the same conversation you have with a lot of these rushing QBs. Is that going to vulture value from James Conner? Probably to a degree, but he was very, very good last year.
I just can't see him replicating it. That's a lot of touchdowns to get once again. And an offense that is, you know, devoid of pass catchers at this particular moment. Hollywood Brown must start. He's an absolute must start. Zach Ertz, I think you have to start him despite that calf injury. It looks like he's going to give it a go. Rondale Moore, it sounds like he's going to be out. And if he isn't out, he's going to be very limited. I don't know. Are you willing to roll the dice on a guy like AJ Green? I'm not. Hollywood's the only guy that I'm going with there. You're going to start James Conner. I have my expectations tempered very much so for James Conner. I'm waiting for him to get hurt. My biggest question is who's going to be the RB2 on this team? Is it going to be Darrell Williams? Is it going to be Eno Benjamin?
Kyler Murray.
You're probably right. He's definitely going to be RB2. It's an interesting matchup. The Cards are missing their top corner this week, so I think the Chiefs are going to have their way with Arizona. I, I, I'm not starting a ton of Cardinals with confidence. Zach Ertz is kind of a low end tight end, tight end one, just because of the injury. But Hollywood Brown, Kyler Murray, James Conner, give him a roll.
Yeah, I do like Kyler Murray. If you can take the over on rushing yards for Kyler Murray in this one, I probably am going with that, given the lack of reliable pass catching options in the passing game for the Cards. Raiders at Chargers is the next game here on the list. Look, a lot of fantasy friendly options. This might be the most fantasy friendly slate on the entire calendar today, Matt, I think, right? Because I think most people are going to start Derek Carr. Most people are starting Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller. On the Chargers side of things, most people are starting Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. So it's beyond the quote unquote obvious starts. Maybe Hunter Renfrow is closer to being a WR3 than he is a WR1, for example, this week specifically against the Chargers. They have a pretty lethal pass rush, but I expect big steps for Derek Carr. I think you're hoping for a bounce back season after what was a lot of injuries last year for Darren Waller. So it's more about who are you not starting or who are you downgrading in a game like this between Vegas and Los Angeles. I mean, I know people are big fans, especially here for the fantasy show, of Josh Palmer because he is Canadian after all. But after the main, the usual suspects, let's call it, I wonder who you're not comfortable starting from both teams this game.
Basically, I like even Josh Jacobs, I think you have to start until we know otherwise. But other than that, I agree. It's a studs and duds type game, right? There's not a lot of secondary options here. I think what we do need to look for in this game is just what Josh Jacobs' usage is. Who has the James White role in Josh McDaniels' offense with the Raiders? Is it Amir Abdullah? Is it Brandon Bolden? Does Zamir White get any carries? Like, how does the running back usage work there? And then for the Chargers, is Gerald Everett relevant? Is Josh Palmer going to be relevant? And who is going to be the thunder to Austin Eckler's lightning? It may not even be a relevant position. It may be a rotation of players. Is it Isaiah Spiller? Is it Josh Kelly? Like, those are basically your options. And we're not comfortable starting any of those. Like I said, this is a studs and duds game for sure, but there's a lot of studs in it.
I think there's a real possibility the James White role for the Raiders is just fulfilled by Hunter Renfrow, honestly. Like, I think it's very possible that they, in terms of the short kind of short route situations that are usually are occupied in McDaniel's offense by like a Julian Edelman, for example, or in Wes Welker or what have you in years past. I think it's very possible that just gets taken up by Renfrow with Devontae Adams and Darren Waller eating up the other kind of intermediate to long routes. We'll have to see how it plays out today, because I'm sure it won't be exactly a one-to-one comp from McDaniel's days in New England to his days now in, not Oakland, in Vegas, at Allegiant Stadium. So I'll be very curious to see, although this game certainly in Los Angeles, I'll be very curious to see how the Raiders look, especially with Derek Carr going up with his former college teammate, Devontae Adams. Let's move on to Packers at Vikings, and like you had mentioned before, no Alan Lazard, or he's unlikely to play, I believe. So if that's the case, does that bump Sammy Watkins up in the rankings, or should we be looking at Romeo Doubs? I almost feel like it's wrong to say it should be Randall Cobb. I feel like we're not going to know exactly who Rodgers targets until we see the first snap of this game. I believe we heard the term wide receiver by committee, which seems like kind of an oxymoron to a certain degree. But if no Lazard, I can't say you should be starting any one guy with confidence. Maybe it probably means the best pass catcher in this game might very well be Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, locked in starters. Aaron Jones has been really good as a Packer. I think he's going to be even better this year with no Devontae Adams. I think part of that quote-unquote wide receiver by committee is Aaron Jones. I do believe that he's going to be a very valuable piece in this passing offense. I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm probably starting Sammy Watkins. because we know that like the first 3 weeks, Sammy Watkins becomes Jerry Rice. Then he gets hurt and then it's a disaster and then he ends up getting cut and whatever. But he's the guy who has the proven track record here. Him and Randall Cobb, and I'm probably starting Sammy Watkins over Randall Cobb. Romeo Doubs, I know that there was a lot of hype surrounding him, but he's still a rookie and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, and there hasn't been a ton of early success for rookies with Aaron Rodgers. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a great day, but outside of the two running backs and Rodgers, I'm not starting any of these wide receivers with any sort of confidence with Lazard out.
Yeah, it's true. I think I don't even think if you look back to Davante Adams as a rookie, you look back to Jordy Nelson as a rookie, not a lot of guys had immediate success. They did have success later on. It's very possible that Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs become very fantasy relevant in the not too distant future, but probably not in week one of their rookie seasons. Let's put it that way. For the Vikings, look, you're starting Dalvin Cook, you're starting Justin Jefferson. KJ Osborne is a popular, relatively speaking, guy to fill in. But as long as Adam Thielen is still out there and healthy, he's still going to occupy that WR2 role in Minnesota, probably a WR3 this week specifically, because I feel like most things are just going to run through Justin Jefferson or Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins himself is actually a not too bad QB2, maybe like a mid to high end QB2 play. If you're in one QB leagues, I hope you have a better option than Kirk Cousins, but if not, you're probably going to feel okay about it. And in two QB leagues, pardon me, or super flex leagues, you can probably feel pretty good about starting Cousins as well.
Yeah, I'm confident starting Cousins. The weapons are there. It's a tough matchup, though. The Packers' defense is sneaky good. Their secondary is solid. Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes. I mean, you can go down the list. It's Rasul Douglas was really good last year. The Packers are good. Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen, based on everything that we've heard in camp, has looked really good again. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL. He's very sure-handed. KJ Osborne's super interesting in that Kevin O'Connell as the new head coach, they're going to run more wide receiver sets for this Vikings offense. That's going to be super interesting to me, what kind of usage he has. And what does Dalvin Cook's usage in the running game looks like? Is the increase in passing game going to include more Dalvin Cook in the passing game? I would assume so. Because, you know, those touches that he gets as a running back, those are hard touches. And those take a lot out of you. And Dalvin Cook has had his injury concerns. So I'm starting the three guys with confidence. Kirk Cousins a little bit less so, but he's been pretty good. And then we'll see what happens with KJ Osborne.
Let's roll through these last couple of games here, the Sunday Nighter and the Monday Nighter. Bucks at Cowboys on Sunday night, and then you got Broncos at Seahawks on Monday night. But Bucks at Cowboys first. Look, again, not a lot of super complicated decisions here. It's really just, do you feel comfortable in starting Chris Godwin? He is going to play today. He was questionable for basically in the entire preseason because he had the torn ACL, but now he is starting later tonight. Brady QB1, Fournette RB1, Evans WR1. You had already said, we had the text line question earlier about Godwin over Gage. I mean, I imagine that means Godwin also over Julio Jones, and I don't think too many people are super high on Cameron Brate, at least for now. We have to see how that snap count plays out later tonight.
Yeah, I'm not starting Godwin with a ton of confidence just because of, you know, he's on a snap count, but I'm starting him, like you mentioned, over those other two guys. I think the biggest question mark with this offense is Rashad White going to push Leonard Fournette for touches? They've talked about limiting Leonard Fournette's workload. Rashad White was the best pass-catching running back in this draft. Does he have that kind of James White role with Tom Brady? Because that's a very fruitful one for fantasy. Be curious to see how that goes. But yeah, not a ton of tough decisions as it pertains to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think in the Cowboys side of things, you're starting Dak Prescott, you're starting CeeDee Lamb, you're starting Dalton Schultz, because again, TE landscape, not super attractive. And Dak Prescott does love him some Dalton Schultz. So I feel very good about starting Dalton Schultz. But Ezekiel Elliott, RB, people are listing him as an RB3. I think he's going to be much better this season just because he's going to be healthy. I know a lot of people are feeling that Tony Pollard could usurp him, but for now, I think I'm still going to keep Zeke above Pollard. But again, if things go, the Bucs defense is also very good, so I might not even change this after this week, even if things do go south.
No, and Ezekiel Elliott's getting paid. He's going to get the touches. My thing would be, is there a Tony Pollard emergence as a guy they use out of the slot? No Michael Gallup for the first probably couple of games of the season. I really like Tony Pollard in PPR leagues this week because I do believe it's going to be high scoring. I do believe that Dallas is going to have to throw the ball to have some success. Ezekiel Elliott's going to get used in the passing game as well. I believe he had the fifth most running back targets last year. So I think both guys are startable. Ezekiel Elliott as an RB2, and I think that Tony Pollard as a flex play is actually pretty good this week against the Bucs.
Let's wrap things up with Broncos at Seahawks, the Monday Nighter revenge game for Russell Wilson as a QB1. I think a lot of people are going to have to start Russell Wilson based on the draft capital they spent on him. Again, beyond that mallet finger injury he had last season, he was actually pretty good. So Russell Wilson with a lot of playmakers for the Denver Broncos, QB1. I think you can feel good starting Cortland Sutton, probably Jerry Jeudy as well. I know you're high on Jerry Jeudy. Those are probably the only two pass catchers I'm going to start until we see exactly how the split goes. So I know a lot of people are comparing the Sutton Jeudy thing to how Metcalf and Lockett are operated for Russell Wilson in Seattle. And on the other side of things, and I think again, you can probably start both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, although I feel like most people prefer Javonte Williams because he is more talented and probably he's a little younger as well. But on the Seattle side of things, beyond DK Metcalf as maybe a low end WR2, maybe even high end WR3, I don't think I'm starting anyone on the Seattle offense.
I would start probably Rashad Penny just because of how he finished the year. He was the RB1 in the final 5 weeks. Outside of that, I agree. You know, people are low on DK Metcalf because, you know, Geno Smith is the quarterback. But DK Metcalf, when he played with Geno Smith last year, if you extrapolate it over the course of a full season, averaged 4.85 receptions, 71.7 receiving yards, and 1.14 touchdowns. A 17-game pace of 83,219, and 19 touchdowns. I know he's not going to get 19 touchdowns, but I also don't think he's going to be as irrelevant as people think either.
All right, there you go. That does it for our start sits. Yeah, I'm starting DK Metcalf in a couple of leagues. So I'm crossing my fingers for at least a somewhat fantasy relevant day. We've seen bad offenses support fantasy receivers before. So here's hoping DK Metcalf is that guy for the Seattle Seahawks. Let's get to some text line questions before we get out of here, Matt. A number of them still here. And again, if we don't get to your text line questions right now, we will answer all of them after we wrap up. Mark from Toronto wants to know, I have some catching up to do after starting Cam Akers on Thursday. I need one of these four in half PPR leagues. Okay, just one of these guys. Chris Godwin, Chase Claypool, Devontae Parker, or Michael Thomas? So one of those guys.
I think I'm going Michael Thomas here.
Yeah, me too.
We haven't heard about any limitations, and we have with Chris Godwin. I don't trust Parker or Claypool enough, so I think Michael Thomas is the start there.
No name on this one, but start two and half point PPR. Elijah Moore, let's see, Tyler Lockett, AJ Green, or Devin Duvernay. So Moore, Lockett, Green, Duvernay, two of these guys in half point PPR.
I think it's Moore and Lockett for me. I thought about AJ Green, but I don't know. AJ Green's old and he can't catch the ball anymore. And I'm going with Moore is locked in, but I'm going to lean Lockett as the second one.
He really fell off a cliff, didn't he? Like AJ Green.
He really did. After he got that injury in the Hall of Fame game when the field was so bad, he hasn't been the same since.
Let me just ask. We got a couple minutes left here. Is AJ Green anywhere close to the Hall of Fame in real life?
I think so.
You think so, eh?
I think he's closer than people will give him credit for. His number, when you look at his numbers, there was a course of 5 years where he was among the elite.
That's what I mean. NFL. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's close. How about that? But he's close.
Is he Hall of Very Good or Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he could be Hall of Very Good, but that seems to be the ongoing conversation. There's lots of Hall of Very Good guys that get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is true. I see one here, Evan from Peterborough on the text line, Dubs or Burks? For the flex position, 1 point for every 10 receiving yards as well. So Romeo Dubs or Treylon Burks?
I think I'm going Romeo Dubs just because of the lack of pass catchers that Aaron Rodgers has to throw to. And I think they're going to have to throw to have success against the Vikings. Treylon Burks is just too many bad things said about him in camp. I want to see what he looks like before I can put him in as a starter. I'll go Romeo Dubs.
And you know what? Why don't we go to one more here before we get out of here? 60 seconds. Got a problem on who to start in my flex. Josh Jacobs at running back or Brandon Cooks at wide receiver?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think the Chargers run defense, it wasn't good last year. We know it wasn't good. I think it's a little bit better this year. I don't know how Josh McDaniels is going to deploy Josh Jacobs. So I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks. in a game that I believe Houston's going to have to throw a lot, which means that Brandon Cooks is going to get a lot of looks from Davis Mills.
I think so, too. I'm a big fan of Brandon Cooks, I got to say. I'm a very big fan. Hey, that kind of does it
for us. Mr. Reliable.
He is.
Mr. Reliable.
He has a lot of teams in the last 8 years, but he has always been, for the most part, one healthy fantasy relevant. That's Matt Marchese. Matt, this is a lot of fun. We're going to be back next week. Good luck to everyone out there.
Yeah, and we got our pod on Tuesday. Don't forget, check us out, Waiver Wire Pod.
That does it for the Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening. We'll get to all of your texts at 590-590 before kickoff. So again, if we didn't answer it on the air, we'll shoot you a message off the air before the first slate of games kicks off at 1 p.m. Eastern. Matt Marchese is with me. I'm Show Ali. Enjoy the first week of football, everyone. It's back. Fantasy football is back. We'll talk to you next week on the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.